Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text 14. Katumba poshaya viyan nijayor nabudyateratam vihatam pramataha Sarvatra tapa traya dukhitatma Nirvidyate na swakutumba rama. Kutumba, of family members. Poshaya, for the maintenance. Viyat, declining. Nija ayu, his lifetime. Na, not. Budyate, understands. Aratam, the interest or purpose of life. Vihatam, spoiled. Pramatak, being mad in material conditions. Sarvatra, everywhere. Tapa traya, by the threefold miserable conditions. Adiatmaka, adidaivaka, and adibodhika. Dukita, being distressed. Atma, himself. Nividyate, becomes remorseful. Na, not. So Katumbarama, enjoying simply by maintaining the members of the family. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable time for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Purport. A foolish man does not understand the values of human life, nor does he understand how he is wasting his valuable life simply for the maintenance of his family members. He is expert in calculating the loss of pounds, shillings, and pence, but he is so foolish that he does not know how much money he is losing, even according to material considerations. Chanaka Pandit gives the example that a moment of life cannot be purchased in exchange for millions of dollars. Foolish person, however, wastes such a valuable life without knowing how much he is losing, even according to monetary calculations. Although a materialistic person is expert in calculating costs and doing business, he does not realize that he is misusing his costly life for want of knowledge. Even though a materialistic person is always suffering threefold miseries, he is not intelligent enough to cease his materialistic way of life. Kutumba poshaya viyan nijayur nabudyateyar tam vihatam pramataha sarvatra tapa traya dukhitatma nividyateyna swakutumba ramaha. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi punjana vagunanvita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish They cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, nor what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can actually see all this clearly. In other words, the difference between a person who's intelligent and a person who's foolish is that the intelligent person knows who he's not and who he actually is. Foolish person doesn't know who they are, and they think themselves to be something they're not. Now, probably 100% of the people in this world are foolish, but some people know they're foolish, and some people think they're intelligent. So the worst people are the people who are actually foolish, but think themselves intelligent, and the more fortunate people are the people who are actually foolish, but they think they're foolish. Now, foolish may be to different degrees. There's foolish in the mode of ignorance, there's foolish in the mode of passion, and there's even foolish in the mode of goodness. And one who's in the mode of goodness and foolish, he tries to get out of becoming foolish. And what is that out of foolish? Krishna says, Kshetra Kshetraya Gyanam Antara Gyana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Ye Vidur Yanta Te Param. That one can conceive the difference between the self, the body, and the owner of the body. Going to understand the process of liberation from the material entanglement, from the modes of nature, that he actually attains to the supreme destination. So if we're foolish, if that's our diagnosis, then the remedy is to become, obtain knowledge. Knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the supreme soul. And knowledge of the relationship between the supreme soul and the soul. That one who's trying to obtain that knowledge, Krishna glorifies in the Bhagavad Gita. He tells us the process is service, submission, and inquiry. Unless we're inquisitive to find out who we are, to find out who, to realize Krishna, and understand things as they actually are, then we won't be submissive. At least not to those who are giving such instruction. If that's not our interest, then whatever instruction we may get will not actually be very helpful because we're not interested in applying it. So therefore, service has to be there. Our inquisitiveness and our submissiveness will be demonstrated by how much we apply it within our lives. That's called sincerity. It's not that I look at myself in the mirror and I look like a good person, so I must be sincere. No, we can judge our sincerity by how much we're sincerely trying to understand the subject matter, how we sincerely are trying to apply it within our lives. To that extent, we become sincere. We become sincere because Krishna says that Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakankshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. That when one becomes aware of one's eternal identity, or at least one becomes aware of who he's not, then he becomes Prasanatma. There's no other way of becoming happy other than realizing who we actually are. We may imagine that different things will make me happy, but unless I understand who I actually am and work in that consciousness, then everything I'm doing is simply shrama evahi kevalam. It's simply wasting my time, my valuable time, as it explains here. People feel very good about themselves because they're very responsible. They feed their family, they feed their dog, they feed the people on the street, and therefore they think themselves to be good persons. But all they're doing is really collecting karma. It is not that we're against feeding people, but we should give them prasadam. Otherwise, we're simply distributing bad karma to everyone. And we should understand that if we really want to help people, we should help them understand their relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, we're falsely trying to take the position as their savior or as their supporter. We can actually support people by giving them awareness of their relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, they're wasting the human form of life. So even when one has a family, there's no harm, but the family should be utilized for self-realization, not simply and only for sense gratification. The perfection of the family is not that we get enough to eat every day and we have a place to sleep, and my children grow up so they get a good job so we can continue on with the eating and sleeping process. No, if we're becoming more aware of Krishna, our children becoming more aware of Krishna, and we're helping others becoming more aware of Krishna, then our eating, sleeping, mating, defending has some value to it. Otherwise, it's simply a waste of time. Because in every species of life, one will get such an opportunity. It is not that the lion, he's taking care of his cubs, he has any different experience than the person who's taking care of his children in materialistic consciousness. They both have the same experience. The lion, he plays with his little furry cubs and thinks he's, you know, he's the big dad. And the children may not be so furry, but still we play with them anyhow. And probably the lion's children grow up more normal than most children nowadays. We never found, at least for my knowledge, there's no schizophrenic lions. Nor are there lions who develop unusual diseases because of their diets and their lifestyle. But nowadays, this so-called attempt to maintain the family has become quite an endeavor. And people even feel they have no time for anything else. And if they had time for something else, they don't know what that else would be. They're trying to fill their lives up with sports and music and movies and different kinds of music. To so-called enjoy in the material world, it's like you're condemned to death and you're asking if you could have a certain meal before you leave the next day when you're going to be executed. You can have a certain amount of, you know, type of music that you like, and you're enjoying in your jail cell before you are going to be executed. So everyone is in a cell called the material body, and everyone's going to be executed. And everyone's trying to fill up their time before their execution with so-called enjoyable things. But they're always in anxiety that maybe tomorrow is the day. And therefore they can never really enjoy. If you're going to be executed tomorrow and they gave you whatever you wanted to eat the day before, you probably wouldn't have such a good appetite. So subtly or whatever, people know that their future is that they're going to have to leave this body and they don't know where they're going. And although they make arrangements in family life to try and protect each other, but no one can protect each other, because everyone has to leave at the appointed time. The solution is that people should try to understand, they should sit down and utilize their opportunity, because family life is very nice for support, but they should utilize that support to make progress in spiritual life. Then the husband, the wife, the children, they'll all be doing valuable service to each other. And people may think that this is just out of the question, but we have positive proof that our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. So who's important, the ever-changing body or the person who's aware of the ever-changing body? Do we want to simply take care of the body, or do we want to wake up the person who's eternal, ourselves? So that's our choice. Either we'll take care of ourselves and we'll forget it, or we'll simply take care of the body and forget about ourselves. There's no harm taking care of the body, because the body is an instrument to help the self become aware of itself, but it shouldn't be just to take care of the body without an interest in the real self, ourselves, because we're the selves. We should have some compassion for our own selves and try and wake ourselves up before it's too late and we have to transmigrate to another body. where we may not have the same opportunity to wake up as we do now. Any questions so far?
Hare Krishna, thank you Maharaj for this lecture. I'm wondering, many times in Bhagavatam we hear this family life being kind of condemned or...
condemned?
Yeah, kind of judged like it's a waste of time. But how do we actually apply Yukta Vairagya, I mean principle? Also Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke about all the levels of our existence should be properly utilized and set, also bodily, emotional, mind, and spiritual.
Societal.
Yeah, can we actually make a progress without all the levels of our existence being properly, I don't know, being properly
satisfied,
yeah.
Well, Bhagavatam doesn't condemn grihastha life. It's one of the ashrams. Bhagavatam condemns grihamedhi life. But then again, it condemns everyone who's not engaged in Krishna service. Because if not, one is not engaged in Krishna service, one is doomed to simply engage in animal-like activities without any higher consciousness. The difference is that in family life, that one has the opportunity for more sense gratification, generally speaking, but not always. Nowadays, there's practically no family life. The Bhagavatam is not elated that people have lost their family lives. The real fact is people have never been trained in brahmacharya life. They've never learned how to control their mind and their senses. Therefore, it doesn't matter what they do after that. It's always going to be a failure. If they enter into so-called family life, they'll simply try to exploit each other. And that gets a little boring after some time, generally speaking. People get tired of trying to exploit each other. They want to find someone else to exploit. So they've lost even the purpose of life. Nitevidu swarthagatim vivishnu. Therefore, they're searching for things that are insignificant and always being dissatisfied. So, if there's real training in brahmacharya life, to control the mind and senses and utilize it for some higher purpose, because that's the only way of controlling the mind and senses, to engage it in devotional activities where one becomes conscious of Krishna. If one does that, then if one enters into family life, then one can continue on with the process of Krishna consciousness. And that means it's a way of engaging the husband, the wife, the children, everyone in Krishna service. So that's good. And if one doesn't do that, then everything's going to be a failure. Even this, you can't become, unless you have training in brahmachari life, you can't become a good grihastha, and if you don't become a good grihastha, you can't actually become a varnaprastha. If you can't become a good varnaprastha, you can't become a proper sannyasi. So therefore your whole life will be spoiled, unless there's training at the beginning. And if one is not trained at the beginning, then one should train himself in household life. Household life is not an excuse for unlimited sense gratification. It's an opportunity to regulate sense gratification. And if one can't regulate sense gratification, then it'll be very difficult. One's rest for one's life will be difficult because one will never become a proper grihastha. One will never become eligible to become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. And even if one takes up these so-called ashrams, then one will not be able to maintain them because of the uncontrolled senses and mind. So nothing is condemned. As Prahlad Maharaj said, there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. So we enter into household life and we accept the rules and regulations. Then household life can be very pleasant. As Prabhupada said, the householders can sit down morning and evening and chant Hare Krishna together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and offer the food to the deities and worship the deities. And then household life will become successful in Krishna consciousness. And if one doesn't do that, if one's simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then household life will be a failure, it'll be a waste of time. Because to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, you don't need a family. You can do it without a family. And that's what most people are doing nowadays. Just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They feel a family is too much of a burden. They don't need a family to do that. So they become less than animals. At least animals usually have a family. Is that right? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I see sometimes devotees that they're getting married and it's obvious that they will not have children. So I'm wondering, is this bona fide?
To get married without having children? What do you have to get married for if you're not going to have children?
I don't know. But
well, you have to ask them why. What are they going to do? Well, if they engage in illicit sex life, then the marriage is really a waste of time. If they're not planning to have children. And if they're just trying to be friends with each other, you don't have to get married to have friends. I don't know, there may be different reasons. In this age of Kali Yuga, there's so many varieties of why people do things. But the central point has to be Krishna in the relationship, at least. And one has to follow the rules and regulations of that particular ashram. Otherwise, if one can't control the senses and one engages in unregulated sense gratification, then it's impossible to think about Krishna. And if one can't think about Krishna, then one will simply sink down to the lower species of life. In this age, at least, I mean. It's hard to tread water for an unlimited period of time. Eventually you have to sink. So we're not attracted to the activities of Krishna consciousness. Our minds will draw us into other activities. But anyhow, you have to ask people why they're doing things. I don't know. They may have some reasons. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Pranthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.